Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I'm sad that Hyunjin isn't going to be there on the first episode of Kingdom, but it's okay, Hyunjin, stay strong, fighting.
So do you think that he's going to make an appearance in the other ones?
Yes, 100%. He's like the face of Stray Kids. He can't be missing for the whole time.
Unless he gets ejected.
And
no, he cannot leave Stray Kids. Don't you speak that into existence.
Oh, God. All right. We are a group of three today. So Gabe, our subunit is back. Gabe, did you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. It's Gabe again, and my intro today is, of course, a recognition of Brave Girls Rollin, which came out, like, 4 years ago, and they recently had their 10-year anniversary, and the song went viral in Korea because this video of them performing it to, like, this group of military people in an auditorium, where the military guys were just, like, going crazy over the song. And then it just, like, somehow re-entered the charts, and now they have a chance to win Inkigayo.
Wow.
So I'm collecting votes on Star Pass, and I'm going to vote for them in the middle of the night so they can win Inkigayo.
That would be awesome.
You know what, Gabe? It's people like you that probably streamed them up to number one. I saw that at some point they even surpassed IU Celebrity, which has been the number one staple for like the last month or so.
Yeah. So
the brave, I don't know what their fandom name are. They like,
I don't know,
Bravies or whatever. Okay, well, they've been working hard.
I know this. If they win, it's gonna be their first win ever.
Oh yeah, they need it.
Where did this come from?
It came from that video that went viral of them performing the song in front of the military guys.
But, like, these things have been circulating online for years. So, like, what, did someone just decide to view it again and post it on their Facebook? And then, like, someone was
So what happened is someone, this account, made a video edit of the song. So, like, they had the performance, and then they also edited in comments from, like, military guys that were left on YouTube into the song as they were performing it. And then apparently that's like super funny and it went viral. So that's the backstory.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you all for tuning into this special episode. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Pandora. If you have any feedback or topics that you'd like us to cover, go ahead and email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we have our content directory, idletalkpod.uu.ai, where you can see previous episodes categorized, as well as our song recommendations, concert reviews, and K-dramas alike. You can also find a little bit of information about us on that content directory as well, and it can be found on the website, can be found in our description in the episode here. All right, so we're back with another K-pop's episode. Seems like things have been more booming in the K-pop industry, so we have a lot to discuss. So Gabe, did you want to go ahead and start us off?
Yes, so my recommendation, or one of my two for today, is a song that was doing really well in January and February, and that is G-IDLE's Hwa. Hwa is, so it has a double meaning, kind of. It's originally, I think, based on the Chinese word for fire and then also for flower. And so the song is kind of reflected in the music video with that concept. It's kind of like an ancient Asian styling. And apparently, I don't know Korean, really, but people have been saying that the pronunciation in the song is like a very like traditional way of pronouncing Korean. So that was interesting as well.
Looking at the Chinese and it legitimately says fire flower in Chinese. Yeah.
And so I think when you put the two words together, it means spark. Apparently, that's what I read.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So anyways, the song did really well on the charts. It got 10 wins. And I don't know, I think it's a great song. Super traditional G-Idol. Doesn't really deviate from what they've been doing. And I've been reading Reddit and it says that this song is like a sequel to Han, which is one of their previous releases.
So it does sound like it does sound like it falls right into what they kind of left off as.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this song, it took me like a couple listens. I think it's a pretty solid release. I think it's good. I liked the runs when they go da 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 da. Like I really liked that part. It reminded me of one of their other songs, but I can't remember what it was.
Was it Han?
It might be Han, actually. Doesn't it do like a similar, like, doesn't it have a similar melody to that?
Anyways. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it does.
Okay.
I looked into it, yeah.
I was watching the music video, and it just looks like they're trying to summon something.
Yeah. It gives me, like, you know how GFriend kind of has, like, sometimes they have, like, a scary, like, ethereal concept?
Apple?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yes.
This was better than Apple, though. I'm going on the record.
Okay.
Well, objectively, it did better than Apple.
Yes.
So, I'm wondering if G-Idol will ever do, like, a summer bop release.
They did.
Wait, which one?
The one that was, like, Desert Cowboy? Tropical House?
Dum-dee.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Desert Cowboy. I think people liked this. I think people like this dark stuff more.
Yeah, I think people like this more, too.
From them, specifically.
Yeah. The one qualm I have with this song is that, well, actually, maybe it's not a qualm, but Shuhua, one of the members who is Chinese, she, like, literally got no lines, basically. Like, she says one thing three times, and it's not even a singing line, it's like a talking line.
Oh, no.
And that, it adds up to, like, 4 seconds of time.
Wow.
Gabe, you're always one to keep the
line distributions
in check.
She's like the Momo of G-Idol.
Well, she can sing, but it's just, I think, so in Dum-Dee Dum-Dee, my friend was saying that the Korean netizens were saying that they couldn't understand Shuhua's pronunciation. So then, in this comeback, she, like, doesn't have any lines.
Dang.
So, I guess to get rid of that criticism.
That makes sense.
But,
I mean,
wait. So to get rid of that, they gave her no lines?
Yeah, because she's not pronouncing it. They can't understand what she's saying.
I guess that's one way to go about it.
It's just like Momo. Remember when she was doing that live stage and everyone hated, like, gave her so much hate for not singing well? And then in the following comeback, they gave her, like, one line and a dance
break?
That's
what you get when you can't do it.
Yeah, at least she got the dance break, so I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So this song won, like, did it triple crown at all, or did it do 2 weeks in a row?
I think it triple crowned on M Countdown. It was their first time ever doing a triple crown.
Oh, you know what I saw? I think it was, like, the first time, like, a non-big three group had gotten a triple crown in, like, a lot of years.
Mm.
So that's a pretty big accomplishment for them. So I think I remember seeing that somewhere. Anyways. All right. Awesome stuff from G-Idol. Let's turn to Ashley, who seems to have a produced special here with the solo stages here.
Yes. So I have two recs as well. The first one is by my baby, Kong Daniel, who released a single on February 16th, and the song is Paranoia. The song isn't linked to any upcoming album. It's just a single that was dropped. Paranoia, it has like a paranoid type of scary theme. And the song was written by Kong Daniel and based upon his own experiences. So remember when, I don't remember exactly when it was, but he went on a hiatus where he was working on his mental health. That's what this song is about.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, according to Soompi, the song is based around Kong Daniel's own experiences with paranoia and mental health. He created the song to allow others experiencing the same to feel both comforted and stimulated. Yeah.
I think the song does that.
Yeah. The English lyrics are... They have that like whole paranoia, mental health theme. So the pre-chorus goes, cover your eyes, demons in the night, paranoia, don't look behind. Oh my, I want to hide. Don't mama mind, so no one can find me. You can run, you can hide, but they always find, spreading slowly in your heart, they live in the dark. So he was in a really dark place when he was going through that, and I'm happy that he got out of it, and now he's able to talk about it and hopefully help other people.
I liked the song a lot. I didn't even know that it was about that, and I like it even more knowing that it was about his own experience, because he was going through that mental health hiatus. It was all mixed up with his contract issues with I can't remember what his previous company was. I guess it doesn't matter now. But now he's established his own, right? Able to kind of do his own thing. I'm sure that that other previous company was giving him hell, because you know what? Ain't nobody was trying to let go of Kong Daniel years ago or now, quite frankly. So they are probably trying to keep their claws on him for as long as they could.
The only bad thing I'll say about this song is that the styling in the music video is like, I don't know about it. They make his arms look so small. So what he's wearing in, it's mostly like black outfits, but
under, he kind of looks Joker-y.
Yeah, his t-shirt is basically like a sheer nude, like very tight shirt, and it just like it like accentuates his skinny arms, and I don't like that.
Okay.
Not everyone is Wonho. God.
I don't want them to be. I don't want them to be Wonho. But I just his arms look so small, and I just want to imagine them like a little bit bigger, and that's it.
It's weird because he's
Kong Daniel's a man.
It's weird because he's known, I guess, within the 101 circles as someone who is more buff, is the word.
Yeah, he doesn't look buff at all in that music
video. I don't know
video.
What you're looking for, Ashley.
I don't know either. I just don't like that t-shirt on him.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a really good song.
It is.
I think it bodes well for whatever he's going to come out with the rest of the year. And... you know, the Produce Boys at this point, a lot of them are doing well, and he's no exception, so.
I think, isn't he, he's probably doing the best out of all of them, right?
As a solo, he's one of the few, first of all.
he is doing the best. I mean, there's also others who are in groups, like Lee Daewi is doing amazing.
They're doing well, yeah. The AB6 is doing well. Recently, was it C9? C9 Entertainment, what's their group?
Six?
Is it literally
is
six?
Is it six?
Yeah,
the one
so.
With Bin J Bin Young, what?
CIX, but it's like C9.
Yeah.
Because that's, okay, yeah. They came out with a new song recently. Which
Cinema.
Cinema did well. So it does seem like they continue to do pretty well and be a staple in K-pop, which is really good to see that they're able to have their careers after 101. I think like a couple of months ago, some of them, not Kong Daniel, but some of them performed at like the K-Con Connect or whatever. Oh. Yeah, so they were still doing stuff, which was kind of strange.
Wait, like a group stage?
Yeah, it was like a mini, it's like half of the 101 members.
Oh.
They did like one of their songs. So it was like,
Lee Daewi there?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Oh.
Ha Sung-moon was there too. Oh, he's been doing a lot of stuff too. So.
Acting.
Has he been acting?
Wait, Ha Sung-moon? Bird guy? The bird?
Bird guy, yeah,
no,
bird guy.
No, he hasn't been acting. That other
he's
dude.
Been, no, he's been releasing.
Gravity.
Gravity Boy has been acting.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, can't remember. Ong Song-woo has been acting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Okay, Ashley, who is your second recommendation?
Yes. My second recommendation is from Chungha. And this is her title track off her latest album released on February 15th. And it is Bicycle. This song is a fucking bop, like straight bop. The album is Querencia, and the whole album was like Spanish theme. She even had songs where she was speaking in Spanish. So Querencia, what did you say it was, Gabe?
Yeah, desire? I asked Gabe, like, oh, what does cadencia mean? Like, is it cadencia?
Like desire.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so this is Chungha's first studio album. It had 21 tracks. And
21 tracks?
Yeah, but it's not really, like, they're not
it's
all
It's like
new.
A three mini albums together, right?
Yeah. It actually was divided into four parts.
Oh,
like
four
two song or two CDs, like front and back, A side, B side. I think it had the song Play on it, so I think this was like a mixture of an old mini album, and then it just got wrapped up into the full length album.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Chungha's this song is about expressing the excitement of moving forward in life by using the metaphor of stepping on the pedal of a bicycle. So, it's really weird that that's the
meaning.
That
was meaning. A lot to take in.
Yeah. It's really weird that that's the meaning of the song, because if you're just listening to the song and, like, listening to the lyrics, that's not what you think the song is about.
And what is it that we think it's about?
Okay, so let me read you the lyrics.
And the listeners can self-determine.
Yes.
Direct evidence is best, yeah.
The lyrics, and this is not in any particular order. I skipped some repetitive lines, but the lyrics are, get out of my way, I'll show you how I like it, do it my way, raise your head and look at me. I write it. You like it how I write it. My sweat dripping down my back. See?
I'm scared.
That's like, this doesn't sound like she's like stepping on a bicycle and like metaphorically moving forward in life, you know? This sounds like she's also,
yeah, go ahead, Ashley.
She's getting it.
And the crazy part is that she's an English speaker. So like,
so she knows.
She well know what she's saying, right?
She knows. Yeah. When I first heard this song, I thought it sounded a lot like Ariana Grande's song. What's that song where she's like
Side to Side?
Side to Side. Bicycle concept. Doesn't it sound like that?
They mm-hmm. really ruined the spinning bike for me.
The music video is really good. Chang'e has like, her music videos recently have been very like glamorous,
mm-hmm.
very, very colorful, and
like,
she has this like 80s like glam vibe happening uh-huh. now, uh-huh. and I dare say that she, like, it reminds me of a concept that Sunmi would do.
Well, this goes right into, her and Sunmi need to do a collab after this.
Yeah.
Because, speaking of Sunmi,
I feel like they have the same vibe.
But she didn't, okay, so here's what I was gonna say about the song. I liked it. It wasn't, if I'm being completely honest, it wasn't my favorite Chang'e release. But I realized it was because she has so many good songs. Like, I really mm-hmm. liked Gotta Go. I really liked Snapping. I really liked Roller Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has a lot.
She does have a lot.
I feel like compared to those, they're actually very different. They're not as, they're just like, I just like her pop hits, maybe.
Yeah. I was comparing her the other day to some other people on her produce season, and Chang'e is like very established now.
She has
multiple singles that have done really well, like tons of mini albums, and
you know, during
in comparison to like
Somi.
Somi has 4 songs.
Well, YG, Black Label. Anyways, so what I was gonna say is that I also, one of my guilty pleasures, 1, reaction videos. 2, random dance play videos.
Okay.
When they have like the masses and they play a song and everyone runs in to get their moment. Everyone's coming in during Chang'e, I swear.
That's true.
Everyone's coming in during Chang'e. So, that's,
yeah.
I feel like you can, she's that's like
queen.
Some kind of measurement of how popular you are. Anyways.
She's the next queen.
The one thing I will say about Chang'e is I was looking at her album sales and they're like not impressive by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, that's like, not good.
That, like, the first day her album sold like almost 9,000 copies, which is pretty low. Like,
do
for
you,
comparison.
Well, how were the pre-orders though? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. But it's okay. Like, her album sales are, like, pretty small.
I'm wondering if, yes, this is her first full-length studio album, but if there weren't that many new tracks, that's why I was, like, really shocked when it was, like, 21. So if, like, there weren't any new tracks, it's, like, was this more of a repackage? So it's, like, why would the, unless you're, like, a huge, huge fan, right? You're not gonna purchase something with repeat tracks, right? So, like, did she have a lot of new tracks that came out from...
There were, like, half the songs that were new.
Oh, okay. Well, that throws out my theory.
Yeah. I think she had a Western kind of approach to this album release, because she released a bunch of singles, right?
Right,
and then dropped the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Was this her first... Was this the comeback that should have happened, like, months ago, except she got COVID?
Yes.
Oh,
which
well,
is why, so she on her album, it's very like Latin themed, and when I first heard it, I thought that the concept felt a little bit late because all of the Latin inspired songs already happened, but
it was supposed to happen when she was supposed to come back.
Yeah, but it got pushed out for COVID, so yeah.
I'm glad that she was able to show us what she was preparing. One. But two, now isn't she doing like more collab stuff with Rain? I saw that she was doing She is a staple now.
Yeah.
She was one of the few produced IOI girls that are consistently in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So I don't know. I feel like the K-pop industry is never going to let go of Produce. And as long as Chung is here, that is the IOI tie. So.
Yeah.
She's the only one, really, right?
Well, there's that girl, Mina, from Gugudon, but Gugudon just disbanded. So, I mean, what's going to happen to her?
She's a great singer.
And Wiki Mickey flopped.
What about that other girl?
It's just gone. I think it also disbanded. I don't know. Did it disband?
Wiki Mickey?
The other,
I don't think so.
Gugudon disbanded. There was another one that disbanded, I think. Anyways. Oh, Cosmic Girls is still going.
Yeah, but they haven't released anything in a really long time.
What about that other girl that the soloist... The soloist from IOI season? She's a ballad singer, and I remember one time...
Oh, Sejong.
Sejong,
oh, Kim yeah. Sejong, yeah, she's really great.
But not, like, Chungha great.
Yeah, she's just different. She's just not like a... She can't, like... She, you know how, like, it's really hard to make it on your own. Because you have to be, like, the best dancer. And you have to have stage presence and all of that, right? Like, not all of the girls can stand alone, right? That's really hard.
Yeah.
Right? They're all really talented. But it's one thing to be really talented. And it's one thing to have a solo stage. Like, not even the best of the best get solo albums. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
yeah,
what Chungha is doing, I think, is already beating a lot of the odds that are probably against her. So, all right, Gabe, do you want to round us off with your second recommendation?
Yes. So,
a very predictable one, if I may say so myself.
Of course, it's not an episode with me unless it is an episode with Dreamcatcher. So, and also in Casey's absence, we have to wreck Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
So,
So
the song I'm wrecking is off of Dreamcatcher's latest mini album, Road to Utopia. And it is one of their B-side songs called Wind Blows. Always be on your side. Could end now. I sent our other co-hosts the dance video for this song because there's not an official music video because it is a B-side. But the things I really liked about this song were the like really fast tempo, high energy dancing, and kind of like a departure from their more dark concept that they've been doing with their recent releases. It's more of a hopeful message that they're sending. So if you read the lyrics, I'll just do a small sampling. It says, "Here now, panic in the city. I need to get out of this place. My heart is like a murky galaxy desperately calling for you. Blow wind so that I can reach you." And it says, "On many nights I wander searching for you and follow a faded star." So it's kind of saying like, they're stuck in their dystopia, and this song is like the wind blowing and like pushing you towards your inner utopia that you're looking for. And so I thought it was a good resolution to the album because their title track, if you listen to it, Odd Eye, it's all about how they couldn't find utopia and they failed in their conquest to find it.
That's kind
so this
sad.
Was a good follow up.
I know.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a reference to actually themselves, or just a Like, are they reflecting on
themselves? The old experiences?
I
don't think so. I think it's more part of the story arc that they've been developing since the beginning of 2020. So, like, the first release in this trilogy, Scream, that was about the Dreamcatcher girls as stewards of this tree of language. And so what happens is the tree of language gets corrupted with people bullying and slandering and, like, hate speech.
Okay.
And then in the next release, they purify the tree and basically shut up the haters. And that's Boca. And then in this most recent release, in Odd Eye, they wake up and realize that the world is not perfect, even though they've cleansed the tree.
So is this a trilogy then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is the end of the trilogy?
Yeah, so this is the third installment of the trilogy, this mini album.
Okay.
Yeah. So they wake up and they find out that the dystopia that they thought they had cleansed before is still around. People are hiding behind screens and still bullying and spreading hate. But you have to look inside you to find your inner utopia. And that's what Wind Blows is referencing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. I like this storyline.
Yeah, I read an article about it too. It's great.
So Dreamcatcher is definitely one of those groups that, and I'm trying to ask you to kind of confirm or deny this. The theorists go a little crazy on this, right?
Like, I wouldn't say they go crazy, but they Dreamcatcher builds a universe within their discography, most definitely. I think more so than the average group does, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so story-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
But the message itself, I think, is really good because, like, at least when they released their previous mini-album with Boca on it, it was kind of in, like, the same time period that people were talking about Sully and Guhara and, like, a lot of, like, idols, like, dying because of, you know, whatever reasons related to online slander or whatever. So the message, I think, is really important for everyone in the industry to look at. So,
I mean, Odd Eye is even still relevant now with all of the school bullying that's happening. Allegations.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I thought.
What did you guys think of the dance video?
It was very hard hitting. I feel like they are. You know how, like, we always say, like, oh, GFriend has two sides, like the dark apple side.
Oh God.
And, like, the Japanese anime side. I feel like they kind of mix in, like, the two very well together, and. Mm-hmm. Their rock side is obviously their key selling point, right? So they can never get rid of that. But I feel like they kind of mix that in together, because what I really like about GFriend is that their choreography is really strong, very synchronized, put together, and I feel like Dreamcatcher's is too. So I liked it. I liked it a lot.
What that video made me remember is, like, all of Dreamcatcher's different types of sides, you know? They have, like, their reggae side, their Michael Jackson side, their, like...
Japanese rock.
Their Japanese rock side, and then this one was, like, more calm. And I texted it in the group. I was like, this Dreamcatcher would be a really good group if there was, like, a Road to Queendom type
of Yes, because they're so good at, like, theatrics, too.
They are. They're so good at singing, dancing, and, like, concept theme building.
They had really good rap in this release, too.
Yeah, they did. They're a really good group.
So, I gotta ask, Gabe, so how did your predictions from... Or was it predictions, or were you kind of willing it into the world about Dreamcatcher's first win? Did it happen?
God.
What happened? What went
it
wrong?
It did not happen, unfortunately, but it's okay. So during the Dreamcatcher promotions for Odd Eye, they were up against Golden Child, and they had a pretty good chance to win, but Golden Child
had a good release too.
Yeah, because their most recent release did really well in the Korean digital streaming market. Which, like, if you have that, then, like, that's all you really need. So, like, Dreamcatcher's album numbers were better, their YouTube numbers were better, but Golden Child had the digitals, so it didn't work out for Dreamcatcher, yeah. But Wind Blows, the B-side,
Bowman took care of it.
Was, yeah. The B-side Wind Blows was nominated on Show Champion, so that was a notable thing. Yeah, so they had a B-side nomination.
Wait, their B-side was nominated, but not Odd Eye?
Odd Eye was nominated too, but like 2 weeks later, their B-side also got nominated.
Oh, got it. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Right.
So that's
what they've sold almost 100,000 albums, so they're still doing great.
You know what's gonna happen, Gabe? Yeah. Like, 6 years down the line, someone's gonna make a fan-made video, and Dreamcatcher is not gonna have a first win up until this point, so you're just gonna have to wait patiently, just like the Brave Girl fans. Yeah. Alright?
Oh, God. That's why I am streaming Roland and voting for them, because I know that it's gonna give me good karma in the future.
6 years later.
6 years later, cape and staff in hand, just waiting.
Oh yeah, they put the light staff on sale, like a few, maybe a week ago, but it sold out in like minutes, and then the site crashed, and a bunch of people couldn't get it.
If COVID ever gets better, like, I will go even to a Dreamcatcher concert. I want to feel what you and Casey feel. You know what I mean? Like, you and Casey are so passionate about Dreamcatcher. I like it when people are passionate about their groups. It's just fun. So I want to feel part of the cult, so to speak.
Oh my god.
Anyways, any other thoughts on Dreamcatcher before we close out?
I look forward to their future.
I look forward to their first win that's coming later this year. Okay. We still have however many months left in this year for it to happen. It's going to happen.
8 months.
It's happening.
Okay. Well, listeners, I did not have a recommendation this time around, and I will say, in the spirit of the people that are also absent from today's recording, Casey and Chris, that we have been loyally streaming the seventh full album from Shiny Still. I will say a little bit. They performed on a lot of music shows. They performed for 2 weeks, and then I think that they're done now. But they went on a lot of, basically, like, all the variety shows, which was really nice to see them at. They also did B-side performances for 2 weeks in a row. So usually they just do the B-side, like, the first week, and then they kind of forget about it. Or they don't. They only did the title track the next week. So they did B-sides both weeks that they were promoting, but they also did different B-sides. So they did Marry You prior to the title track release. They did Don't Call Me like a billion times. They did Heart Attack as their B-side first week. They did Code on music shows as well. And then they also did Kind. So they performed, out of the 9 songs, they performed 5 live already. With choreo and everything, which was really impressive.
Oh, wow. They've been working really hard.
They've been working freaking hard. They've been sustaining Shawls for the next years and years to come.
Giving you teasers for their potential Beyond Live coming up, huh?
We're ready for it. So I will also say that I think for Shawls, like, everything that we get is a cherry on top. Because everything could have just stopped. So that's why we're like, we feel very grateful for that.
It's like the bonus round.
Like, everything that we get is like a bonus round up until this point, right? And I don't want to get too sappy because, you know, but when they won M Countdown, it was like their first win in like almost two since like Good Evening era. I don't even think they won anything for Good Evening. I think they won one trophy for I Want You. So they hadn't won very much up until that point. And Key did a really nice dedication to Jungkook, saying that, like, for him, it still, like, hurts. right? That he's gone and he's happy that, like, they're able to continue like this. So again, like, everything up until this point is just like an extra cherry on the top. They went on IU's show Palette. They had a great time there. They did a cover of IU's song Dear Name, which is really special. And IU did a cover of Sherlock. So I was reading a lot of the comments. They were like, oh, and then Minho went on Jessie's show. So, like, we were getting so much content. They were like, if you want to feel healed, you go to IU's show and you watch that. If you
want to feel chaos.
Like, when you feel want to feel chaos and craziness, you head over there to Jessie. It's like, that is exactly what that was.
I loved it.
So, they're all back. Their hair is dyed. They're all going ham with their visuals, vocals, rap, everything. So, thank you to SHINee for the last 2 weeks. It will keep Shawl sustained for the next year at least, because they went on so many shows. And I'm willing this into the world. I want a SHINee View-esque summer comeback. Thank you so much.
Oh my god, that would be awesome.
I know. I think the chances of that are low, but I'm throwing it out there.
Well, there is, like, okay, this is off topic, but Baekhyun is coming out with a mini album probably prior. Yeah, he already announced it. It's coming out, like, either this month
end
or next
March,
month.
End of March, right? End of March. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be his last album before he goes to the military.
That one probably definitely is the next summer, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because Chanyeol's going this year. This is the year of the 19... It's supposed to be the year of the 1993s. So Baekhyun is 1992, and Chanyeol is 1992 as well, so he's already gone. But yeah, at least if we don't get a SHINee summer bop, then I'm counting on Baekhyun to give us one.
What was also really cool about the SHINee stuff is that they had a lot of different groups do reaction videos. They did, like, SuperM did one. They're all little mini Shawls in there.
Aespa.
Aespa did one.
I have something to say about Aespa.
Okay, go ahead.
So I watched Aespa's reaction, and I was expecting it to be a little bit different. I don't know. Maybe it's because
they were... Okay, what was it like?
So they were watching it, and they were just kind of commenting on, like, that, like, the lyrics are cool, the hair is cool, the outfits are cool. But I thought, like, being girls...
But they can't do that.
I thought they were going to have a bigger reaction when they saw Minho walking out at the beginning with his shirt off. Like, I thought it was going to be like a fucking...
And then instead you got SuperM doing that.
Yeah. Instead it was Aespa like, oh, yeah. Like,
it's because they can't publish things like that.
I know. And they're still so rookie that they can't be, like, crazy yet. They're still really mellow.
Right. They also, like, the Amazing Saturday cast did one, which is the show that people go on these days to, like, the people that are promoting, the one that Ki is on and Taeyeon is on. Mm-hmm. They had really funny stuff. Anyways, I can go on forever about it, but I didn't want to give a shout out to them. Even though these 2 weeks went by really quick. But that's the thing, like, senior groups, they don't promote for that long anymore. They're not going to do, like, an 80s...
2 months.
Two-month
promotion for, like, one song, right? But they really concentrated it through these last 2 weeks. So, proud of them. I'm proud, Shawl. Anyways, okay. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of K-Bops. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod. And until next time, we will talk to you all later. Goodbye.